I don't know what kind of a week you had, but I was ready for Sabbath. I had begun my doctorate of ministry, and I vowed that I would be a better student this time around. Vows were broken this week. But the good news is that is behind us, and we have this rest in the Sabbath. So let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each Sabbath. Thank you so much for the promise that the work you have done allows us to rest in you. As we talk about the cross, as we talk about what you have done for us, assure us of the rest. In your name, amen. I have made bad decisions in my life. I doubt that I'm the only one, but I definitely have made bad decisions. One of those bad decisions that I made is I bought a mountain bike. Now, I like bicycles. I like bicycles more than I like riding bicycles. Pastor Prescott often will try to get me to go riding with him, and I'd say, no, I'm good. I like my bicycles. But I had a mountain bike, and I lived in Loma Linda at the time, and one afternoon some friends said, let's go mountain biking together. And I couldn't think of a good way to say no. So I went with them, and I lived in the perfect location for mountain biking there in Loma Linda because out of my garage, it was straight uphill into the hills behind Loma Linda, and you would ride until you were ready to turn around, and it was downhill all the way back until I got into my garage. So why not? And so we went, and everything was going well for the way up. Everything was beautiful. It was a beautiful day. We were staying together, and we got up to the top, and we turned around, and on the way back down, that's when things didn't go as well. First of all, I was not as experienced as the other two guys I was riding with. And so I was not able to keep up, and so I was pushing myself, trying to stay up with them, and then the chain came off. And so I stopped, and I put the chain back on, and now they were further ahead, and so I was pushing myself even harder, and the chain came off a second time. Now, they were almost out of reach, but I was determined to catch up with them. And I was racing down those hills there in Loma Linda, and that's when I hit the jump. I learned as a child to avoid jumps. The jumps aren't so bad. The landings never go well for me. The same happened that fateful day there in Loma Linda because I hit that jump, and as I went sailing through the air, I realized something wasn't right because everything was upside down. And I did not land on my front tire nor my rear tire. I landed on my face. At least I assume that's what happened because that's the last thing I remember before everything went black. The nice thing about Loma Linda is there's no shortage of medical professionals. And so when I came to there lying on that path in those hills, I was already had two ER nurses standing over me. And they had called an ambulance, and I went to the ER, and luckily nothing was broken. Everything turned out okay. But I sold that bike. That's not the worst decision I've ever made, but when you think of bad decisions throughout history, and there have been some humdingers, when you think of bad decisions, one comes to my mind that it's really hard to beat. 2,000 years ago, Pilate, trying to weasel his way out of having to let Jesus die because he recognized Jesus was innocent. And so he's trying to maneuver a way to get the people on his side. And so he thinks of the one person who deserved to die on the cross more than absolutely anyone else, and he brings that one man out, stands him next to Jesus, and has the people choose. Who goes free? Because they had a custom every year at Passover that they would let one prisoner go free. And so he brought out Barabbas. Who was Barabbas? Mark chapter 15, verse 7 tells us that Barabbas had been part of an insurrection and he was a murderer. You see, we don't know a lot about Barabbas, but what we do know, he was not a good guy. He was a murderer. He was the type of guy, if someone got in his way, he had no problem killing that person. He was out to destroy Rome no matter what it took. Or Jesus. But the fact that Barabbas was a rebel, a guerrilla warrior, an insurrectionist, those weren't the worst things about Barabbas. You see, in the Gospel of Matthew, when it talks about Barabbas, it gives him two names. It's the only of the four Gospels that do that. The other three only call him Barabbas, but there in Matthew, it calls him Jesus Barabbas. Commentators assume that the other Gospel writers did not feel like it was appropriate to let Barabbas even be called by the same name as Jesus. And so they only called him Barabbas. Jesus and Jesus stood there. And people had to choose which one they wanted. But the name Barabbas means son of the Father. So here was Jesus, the Son of God, and Jesus, the Son of the Father. And people had to choose which one they wanted. Barabbas was a false Messiah. Barabbas was a man who had rallied people behind him, and he had promised them the very thing they wanted, the destruction of Rome. Barabbas or Jesus? It seemed like the easiest decision of any decision that had ever been made. Jesus, who said, "Let the little children come to me." Jesus, who healed the lame, who caused the blind to see. Jesus, who could speak to storms. Jesus, who fed the hungry. Jesus, who there was never a person who Jesus didn't have time for. Jesus, who gave us the most perfect picture of love the world has ever seen. Or Barabbas, a thug. A thug who had no problem killing, burning, looting, doing whatever it took to get his way. It seemed like an obvious decision which one should be set free. And they chose Barabbas. They chose Barabbas, and you have to wonder, how did we get from Sunday to this? Because on Sunday you had the triumphal entry where the entire city was alive and celebrating Jesus' arrival and praising him and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And here we are on Friday. And they choose Barabbas. How do you do this? People have looked at this and said, well, the only explanation is mob mentality. Now, I don't know a lot about mob mentality. And so I called up my good friend Carl Bailey this week. And he said, well, actually, it's called emotional contagion. And this is this idea that we pick up the emotions of those around us. This is why when you're around someone who is mourning, you feel the sadness. This is why when someone is angry with you, often our first response is anger back, even if we don't know why yet. Because we pick up those emotions around us. Carl, being Canadian, also said this is why hockey players fight, because one of them gets angry and I don't know if that's true. I think just hockey players like to fight. So maybe that's what it was, where there were enough angry people in the crowd that it just overwhelmed the crowd, and all of a sudden all of them were filled with this anger as they chose Barabbas. But I don't believe that that's actually true, because I don't think there was a big shift from Sunday to Friday. On Sunday, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, and they're waving palm branches and they lay their coats down and they're saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," which means, "Lord, save us." If they were saying, "Lord, save us," and thinking about the Romans, if all they wanted was being saved from the Romans, then here, Friday, as they're choosing between Jesus and Barabbas, you can understand why they chose Barabbas. Because Jesus, broken, he was exhausted both emotionally and physically, he had been beaten, and there he stood. And Barabbas, towering over him, full of fury. If you wanted to be saved from the Romans, who would you choose? And so they chose Barabbas. It's easy for us, all of these years later, to look back and to say, "Oh, you made the wrong choice. How in the world could you choose Barabbas over Jesus?" But let's be honest, we so often choose the ways of Barabbas, don't we? We choose the ways of Barabbas when we win by using our strength. We choose the ways of Barabbas when we win arguments with deceit. Anytime we operate where the ends justify the means, then we're choosing the way of Barabbas. But not only that. You see, when they chose which Messiah they wanted, they were choosing what they wanted to be saved from. They wanted to be saved from the consequence of sin, not from sin. And how many of us so often find ourselves in that very boat? I married a good woman. The problem with marrying a good woman is you can end up with good kids. My boys are rule followers, which is good. It's good until it's not. Like when you're driving. This last week, I had to run to the grocery store. I took the two boys with me. And on the way home, I made some decisions in front of a police officer that required me to explain to my boys why sometimes officers give tickets and sometimes they don't. But when it comes to driving, there's no question about it. We want to go on speeding, we just don't want the ticket. When we get tickets, we don't think, "Oh, I shouldn't have been speeding." We think, "Oh, I wish I had slowed down fast enough for that cop not to see me speeding. But how often are we that way with God as well? We don't actually want to be saved from sin. We kind of enjoy the sinning. We just want to be saved from the consequences. We want a Messiah more like Barabbas. So as we look at the crowd, as we look more closely, all of a sudden we realize that crowd 2,000 years ago, we see ourselves there, don't we? We see ourselves also choosing Barabbas. As we celebrate communion this morning, though, as we celebrate the ordinance of humility, it's a promise that we're choosing Jesus' way, not Barabbas's. And as we partake of the bread and the wine, it's saying, Jesus, I need you in me because I want to be free from sin, not just free from the consequences. I don't know about you, but I've had enough. I've had enough. And it's not getting better out there. And the only way is we've got to stop choosing Barabbas. It's time we choose Jesus. But the most incredible part about this story is the cross that Jesus hung on. It was the cross that was for Barabbas. You see, Barabbas was captured as part of this insurrection. Those two thieves that were on the other sides of Jesus there, they were all part of the same gang. They weren't thieves at all. They were the insurrectionists that fought alongside Barabbas. And so it was intended that Barabbas be the one in the middle with them on either side. So when Jesus died, he died for, in the very place of Barabbas. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what has led you to this point, what mistakes you have made in the past. But no matter how bad it gets, Jesus died even for Barabbas so that he could become the Son of the Father.